Insurrectionist Guy Reffitt, who never entered the Capitol on January 6th, but was charged with leading a mob to its doors, breaking police lines, was sentenced yesterday to a little over 7 years in prison, the longest sentence to date, as the Justice Department prosecutes hundreds of cases of rioters who attempted to block election certification in 2020. Reffitt refused a plea deal, called himself a martyr and a patriot, but in the sentencing, the judge said of him and others that day, not only are they not patriots, they are a direct threat to our democracy. Divisions in the Reffitt family mirror those in the country. His son Jackson famously tipped off the FBI to his dad's militia plans and said today he feels his father is mentally ill. After the sentencing, Reffitt's wife, Nicole, spoke to the press and doubled down.
We are patriots. Guy was a patriot that day. He will always be a patriot.
Reffitt's daughters had a different perspective.
To mark my dad as this horrible person, and then having him prosecuted like this, when somebody is maybe even able to get elected again, doesn't seem right to me.
Trump deserves life in prison if my father's in prison for this long.
What about those who directed the mob? Others in the mob? Andrea Bernstein co-hosts the podcast Will Be Wild, words from then-President Trump's tweet about January 6th. She takes a deep dive into that day. And so, Andrea, you know, we know prosecutors wanted much more time for Reffitt. Reffitt's lawyers wanted less. Your thoughts?
Despite the fact that it is significantly less than prosecutors had initially asked for, it is the longest sentence of any January 6th defendant so far, and one that I think will send a signal.
What the court is saying is you are as guilty if you instructed or led. That perhaps is one reason why he got this sentence, but why else? Because we know that his family and friends were sending letters about how he had been abused as a child, how he lost his job and then lost his way. But, you know, if he didn't attack an officer or enter the Capitol, why do you think he's such a symbol?
For a couple of reasons. I think one is the defiance with which he approached the trial. He did bring a weapon to the Capitol. He had a pistol. He threatened his children afterwards. But also prosecutors had said during the trial that he really was the tip of the spear. And if you look at the videos that day, you do see him leading a crowd up the steps in the Capitol.
People remember it was his son testifying about what his father did and cooperating with the FBI.
Our podcast, Will Be Wild, begins with the story of Jackson Reffitt, who at the time was 18 years old, overheard his father planning something strange, and got so worried that he Googled how to tip the FBI, and he did reach out to the FBI. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the FBI didn't respond to his tip until the afternoon of January 6th. Guy Reffitt was convicted of very serious felony charges. He was defiant. His wife, Nicole, had been defiant after he was convicted. And at the 11th hour, he decided to say he was sorry. It did seem the judge wasn't having it.
Well, meantime, just talk a little bit about where Reffitt had been held. He was in jail in Washington, D.C. for 19 months with a whole group of accused insurrectionists, all in the same unit. They played games and sang the national anthem together every night. What's your sense of why that happened? I mean, it would seem like it would harden them in their ideology.
Well, prison officials had said they had done this for security reasons, that they had separated January 6th defendants in this way. And for us, one of the things the jailhouse grouping was symbolic of is something that has happened in the country since January 6th, which is people from different extremist groups have connected with each other. And very soon after January 6th, as we began to speak to terrorism experts, domestic terrorism experts, Homeland Security officials, all of them expressed a concern that January 6th was the beginning of something, not the end, that it was a day when people came together versus the last chapter of the Trump administration. People came together by following the words of the former president on January 6th and going to the Capitol and fighting like hell.
And one of those people who cites Donald Trump's words is Danny Rodriguez. He's one of the insurrectionists. We all know the police officer, Michael Fanone. And he was the one who was pulled out into the crowd, beaten. He cries out, "I have children." he gets tased by Danny Rodriguez. And now Danny Rodriguez, in this portion of your podcast, Will Be Wild, is kind of crying during this questioning by the FBI, lamenting, you know, what he thought he was doing. Let's listen.
We thought we were part of a bigger thing. We thought we were being used as a part of a plan to save the country, to save America, to save the Constitution and the election, the integrity.
Like the ends justify the means kind of thing. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so we thought
it was okay to do something wrong or illegal.
Yeah, it's like they cheated with Trump and they did all the elections. They're like, oh, Trump is so bad, anything is okay.
You were prepared to give up your life to prevent him from being president?
No, to save the country.
So you thought you were going to martyr yourself for the cause of the country?
I'm so stupid.
Again, Danny Rodriguez, who also, it's so chilling, Andrea. You know, he talks to the FBI, and you have all these tapes in your podcast. Not only did he go to the Capitol, but he trained with a militia, the 3%ers, the same militia as Guy Reffitt. He talks about going out shooting with them and doing drills with them. They were preparing for civil war.
Yeah, I mean, there's still more to learn about the group of people that Danny Rodriguez trained with. But one of the things that's clear is Danny Rodriguez is somebody who was a longtime supporter of Donald Trump, who saw himself, particularly during the summer of 2020, when Black Lives Matter protests were sweeping the country, as someone who, from his, Danny Rodriguez's perspective, he was defending police officers. He was defending the blue against the protesters. And the FBI agents asked him in this interview, how did you go from being that guy, the guy that was backing the blue, to a guy who put a taser onto the neck of a police officer and pulled it twice? And I think that is sort of one of the keys to what happened in this country, is that Danny Rodriguez really explains how he followed the orders of former President Trump, how he went to Washington because Trump asked him to, how he went to the Capitol because Trump asked him to, because he believed, from listening to Trump and from listening to all the disinformation and misinformation from InfoWars to Fox News, that was telling people that the election results were stolen.
Let's listen. Again, insurrectionist Daniel Rodriguez talking to the FBI.
It's a lot of emotions when you get involved, when you feel like you're fighting evil. And you have a lot of fire that gets lit inside you. You can only, like, take so much before you start to, like, feel responsible for not doing something.
On January 6th, did you feel it was your responsibility?
I did. I thought that... Yes. I don't know. I didn't think it was going to turn out like this. I thought the good guys are, where the good guys were going to win. I thought I was a good guy. Wanted to be a good guy.
Yeah. Rodriguez thought he was being one of the good guys. More than 300 people still face felony counts. And you see this as a pyramid at the base. Most of those arrested have these low-level charges, next level up. A smaller, more dangerous group of people. They brought weapons. They attacked police. The top level, we understand that the Department of Justice is investigating Trump himself.
Certainly, the former president is still promulgating the big lie. And it's still being sent out through this very large echo chamber, the exact kind of echo chamber that Danny Rodriguez said motivated him to go to the Capitol and to pull out a taser on a police officer. And so long as the big lie has powerful adherence behind it, experts on disinformation say, we're still going to be confronting its effects. So there may be a group of people who went to the Capitol who are defiant. Some of them have been jailed. Others of them have been sentenced.
Some are running for office.
And, you know, some are writing books. But I think the larger question is, what do people think about the integrity of the electoral system? This sense of elections are not something to be trusted. I do think what we heard in this episode, which looked both at Danny Rodriguez and at Officer Mike Fanone, is in a way on January 6th, they sort of switched places. Here was Officer Fanone, who had felt during the summer of 2020, the Black Lives Matter protest, that law enforcement was under attack. And when he was at the Capitol on January 6th, trying to fend off this mob with spears and bear spray and all kinds of weapons. He's trying to fend them off, medieval combat, he calls them. Those people are the existential threat. And for Danny Rodriguez, it was the opposite move. He had felt like law enforcement was his friend until he found himself in this position, which he admits is crazy, where to do what the president told him to do, he said, he was at almost mortal odds with the cops that he said he'd come to defend. Mm.
Andrea Bernstein, co-host of the podcast Will Be Wild. We'll link you to it at herenow.org. She's also author of the book American Oligarchs, The Kushners, The Trumps, and The Marriage of Money and Power. Andrew, thank you.
It's always great to talk to you, Robin.